And now online, via various audio providers, on your phone or tablet, via your desktop or laptop, I don't know, it's time for another edition of Ian Danter's Barmy Old Podcast.
How do? You all right? Ian Danter here. Welcome aboard episode 12 of my Barmy Old Podcast, where me and my cohorts, Sean Percival and Andy Robinson, bring you a half hour of new sketches, parody songs and daftness, whilst occasionally dipping into our archive of stuff from the shows we used to do up in Birmingham on BRMB and Heart FM back in the day. Thanks for all your tweets and emails you've sent since the last episode. Always, always appreciate your feedback. Via at TalkDance on Twitter, that's TalkDance if you're tweeting, and iandanter.co.uk, that's my website where you can email me. Today, coming up on the show, we look at the lack of common sense at the English seaside, Black Country Bob has a problem with queuing at the Commons to vote, we have a specific request for a classic Dares from the Vault on the way, kids TV legends coping with the stresses and strains of lockdown, and a new Mr. Men story that hits far too close to home, frankly. But let's kick things off by visiting the Barmy Old Podcast news desk to get you the very latest from Jim White and first, Hugh Edwards. Thank you, Ian, and hello to you. The Chief Executive of NHS Providers, Chris Hobson, has criticised the government for not consulting anyone who works in hospitals on any of the plans for staff, visitors and outpatients to wear face masks and coverings from June the 15th. Boris Johnson has ignored this criticism in as much the same way as the captain of the Titanic might have ignored a ship full of iceberg location experts. Meanwhile, medical experts from all over the world are rightly backing the Black Lives Matter campaign. Urologists have said they will take the knee. Cardiologists have said they will take the knee. And transplant surgeons have reminded everyone that they will take the knee, the heart, the lungs, liver, and any other available body parts. Facebook has announced it has, so far, taken down nearly 200 accounts linked to white supremacy groups. However, when they get round to following your Uncle Howard, Nana Joyce, and that strange lad from school you accidentally friended, it will be up to 200 accounts, no problem. Sunday trading laws are set to be suspended, and pubs will be given fast-track measures to allow them to serve food and drink outside, according to new government plans. This is only if the 2 metre distance law can be observed. So, lads, you will only be able to aggressively accuse yourself of spilling your pint. You numpties. New coronavirus guidelines have made it illegal to have sex in your own home with a person from another household from this week. So the advice to frustrated people who aren't cohabiting still includes a substantial amount of hand washing. And now to the sports desk, Jim White.
Thanks, Hugh. The first live sports event to return after lockdown on free-to-air TV has been Snooker's Championship League tournament being televised all this week. Obviously, players keep a substantial distance between them and there is no atmosphere due to the lack of spectators. The few season ticket holders of Macclesfield have been watching as it reminds them of how they used to spend their Saturdays.
Thank you, Jim. And that's it from us. You're up to date. Thanks, fellas. So let's crack on with one of our world-famous parody songs to kick things off, shall we? Now, I couldn't believe what I was seeing the weekend before last down on the south coast of England. Loads of people, plenty of them really drunk, massed together on a beach watching other tanked-up folk jump fully 70 metres into the water doing this thing called tombstoning. I'd never heard of it before. Of course, bones ended up being fractured, ambulances called, nobody able to social distance properly, nobody able to stay safe. Dominic Cummings would have been proud of them. Crowded House, however, were not impressed.
We don't have to stay in. We can all now go out to try to catch the sunshine in the open air. But some people are thick as two short planks, crowded together on a beach, watching nutters leap in the sea. Hey now, hey now, they think it's over, so they crowd on a beach in Dorset, without a brain cell between them, COVID infecting. From 200 feet high, these cliff divers jump in. Surely it's their own fault if they end up breaking their limbs. Air ambulance is called, and that's placing more stress on our already overworked NHS. Hey now, they think it's over, so they crowd on a beach in Dorset, without a brain cell between them, COVID infecting.
Well, Lance, you've made your point, but I've heard a lot about excessive alcohol consumption from those who were either diving or those below them on the beach who were kind of egging them on. Do you have any idea of the average metric consumption of booze from folk who were there on the beach in Dorset?
It's 4 litres in one day.
Well, I make that about 8 pints each then, in old money. Good work there. Our thanks to Crowded House for that. And let's head straight from the beach to the Houses of Parliament, shall we? So we can catch up with the politically incorrect MP for Dudley, Black Country Bob. Now, a week is a long time in politics, as the saying goes. Ain't that the truth during lockdown, eh? So what's winding Bob up this week, I wonder? He probably hates the theme tune too. This theme tune, actually, for those that wonder, was done in one take just before we went on air with Bob's first episode. Sean's idea it was, the tune he thought would remind everybody what Bob was all about before every episode. Just being a misery, basically, Bob. So, there you go. It sets it all up nicely, doesn't it? Sing your hearts out.
He's in the House of Commons, he's parliamentary, and proudly representing his constituency. He's the perfect politician until he opens his gob. He's the MP for Dudley, he's Black Country Bob.
Mr. Speaker!
Order. Prime Minister's questions. Black Country Bob.
Prime Minister, surely you ain't gonna make us queue outside for hours every time we have to vote on something. We'll freeze our knackers off in the winter. Can't we just go back to a virtual parliament?
Look, not everyone will have to queue. The Right Honourable Member for Dudley will be pleased to know we shall be making exemptions for shielders and for people with underlying health conditions.
Yeah! Well, my ingrowing toenail count as an underlying health condition.
Well, of course it won't.
Outrageous! Don't discriminate against me just because of me toenail.
How dare the Right Honourable Member for Dudley use the word discrimination? Discrimination is what has been happening over in America.
Look, I'm the first to admit that Black Lives Matter, and I'd take the knee as well if it were for me gout. But the lives of people with ingrowing toenails matter and all. I'm going to organise a march. Mind you, it could be more like a hobble if we've all got ingrowing toenails. I'll organise a meeting instead.
What about social distancing? What about staying at home as much as possible?
Staying at home? I'm joking, are you? No one's bothering with that anymore because of your mate Cummings. Dayo see all the crowds last week on the beach in Dorset watching that cliff diver.
Oh, yes, Durdledore, was it not?
What? The wizard from Harry Potter was the bloke who jumped into the water. I'd recognise him as he shaved his beard off.
Durdledore Beach, not Dumbledore.
What am you all laughing at?
Order, order. I will have order here, please. Order.
This is the Barmy Old Podcast with the likes of Desi's Diaries and the Mr. Men still to come. So live sport is coming back in the UK, slowly but surely. Darts has been a great success online throughout lockdown. Golf is making a few strides towards some tournaments. And of course, football isn't too far away either. Snooker, though, as you heard from Jim White, was the first sport to return to live action on free-to-air TV as the Championship League started this week. The game still does have its big personalities like Ronnie O'Sullivan and Judd Trump, but arguably not as many personalities as it did maybe 15, 20 years ago. Now, I had a request from Bill via email who writes, I really loved your sketch with Ted Lowe and Dennis Taylor, bored at an old snooker final a couple of weeks back. I'd love to hear more from those two if you have anything. Thank you, Bill. Well, as it goes, I do have something in the old Heart FM archive for this. As Ted and Dennis come across a player who, in subsequent years, got a huge ban for match fixing. And that wasn't all about him that was huge.
And Welsh Open snooker champion Big Stephen Lee is at the table. What do you think there, Dennis Taylor?
Well, I think Stephen Lee should lose some weight, Ted.
Oh, you're right there, Dennis. Stephen Lee is by far and away, and without a shadow of doubt, the fattest professional on the snooker circuit. Oh, he's not sure here whether to go for the red or the brown. He's leaning over the table. What do you reckon there, Dennis?
Well, I reckon the table could collapse at any moment. Oh, look, Ted. He's gone for the red. He's finally gone for the red.
Oh, yes, you're right, Dennis. Stephen Lee has gone for the red. The red sauce. And he's poured it all over his egg and chips. Oh, and he's wolfed it down in a matter of seconds there.
Well, what an incredible clearance, Ted.
So Stephen won the Welsh Open the other week. We've already had the Irish, English and Scottish Open. And the next big tournament is going to be in Beijing. So I said to Big Stephen Lee, when is the Chinese Open? And do you know what he said, Dennis?
No, Ted. What did he say to you?
He said between 4 and 11 on weekdays and between 4 and 2 over the weekends, and he recommended the sweet and sour king prawn balls.
Well, our old mate Ozzy Osbourne is well known for having a wardrobe at home which is basically full of the same type of black jogging bottoms, multiple pairs of them, and loads of identical black t-shirts too. He probably never wears the same shirt or trousers twice. A bit like Gordon Brown with his socks, if I remember right. Now, not only does Ozzy love the same clothes, he also loves singing the same baked potato song for us here on the Barmy Old Podcast every week. This, remember, is Matt Lucas's baked potato tune that's been raising loads of money for the NHS during lockdown. And Ozzy has already tailored it for us to suit his one-time preferences for alcohol and LSD more than spuds. And here he is again now to give us a more cautionary tale of another of his once preferred dietary choices. All yours, Oz.
Lots of cocaine, it changed my life. Lots of cocaine, it showed me the way. If you want to stay up all day and night, you must listen to what the cocaine say.
Come with me, let's have some more.
This atmosphere spoils it.
Let us go behind the store.
In a public toilet, to never stop having nothing to say. Just remember, you can always snort cocaine.
Let's see how much we can take.
You're worse than alcoholics.
Diana was killed, 9/11 was fake.
Well, now you're talking bucks. I really wish I'd left some time ago. But then I went and started on the blow. C-O-C-A-C-O-L. Oh no, I've spilt a fizzy drink card instead, man.
And a big hit for ITV this past week or so on the telly was the brilliant Alan Carr starting this run of epic game show series. Play Your Cards Right was first, then The Price is Right, you've got Bullseye, Take Your Pick, and Strike It Lucky, all being brought back by Alan too. Now, there have been rumours of strange goings-on since Alan started replicating these classic game shows of the past, suggestions of evil spirits at work. So I went to see Alan to ask him about it. So, Alan, tell me what happened.
Well, Ian, it started when, for a joke, my husband and I had to go on a Ouija board during the recording of my new series, Alan Carr's Epic Game Shows. Weird things started happening, and it soon became clear that I'd become possessed by the evil spirits of dead quizmasters. This was recorded, right, when I was under hypnosis.
I'm speaking to the person or persons inside of Alan. If you are there, you too are hypnotized. Come forward and answer me now.
Let's have a look at the old scoreboard.
Stay out of the black and in the red.
Don't touch the pack. We'll be right back.
You get nothing in this game for 2.5.
Oh, higher. Higher, much higher.
For those special days when you need a lie-in, this handy tea maker.
Oh, so much better than last week.
It's pounds for points.
And what do points make?
Prizes.
Jeez Louise, that's weird, Alan.
Oh, it went from bad to worse, Ian. A priest was called in, and at one point, I shoved a crucifix in a very inappropriate place. Then they decided on an exorcism. Now, this was recorded during that.
It's the power of Christ that compels you.
Oh, good game, good game.
You can't beat a bit of bullies.
Nice to see you, to see you.
Nice. Oh, boy, special prize. It's not only charming, it's also chiming. It's a grandfather clock.
I'm the leader of the pack, which makes me such a lucky jack.
Super smashing girl.
All right, my love.
It's a bullseye. And here's your host, Jim Bowen.
And there goes for the car, ladies and gentlemen.
Come and take a look at what you could have
won. Yeah, you get nothing for a pair.
Not in this game.
Now, eventually, Ian, one of the priests managed to persuade the evil game show spirit to leave my body and possess his.
Oh, right. And what happened then? Did he throw himself out of a second-story window or something?
No, he tangoed down the stairs, did a foxtrot out the front door making this noise. And we never saw him again.
We've had Sir Cliff Richard with us on the Barmy Old podcast previously, bemoaning a lack of refund for a cancelled summer holiday abroad. Now, we just don't know, of course, how it's all going to shake down for the tourism industry at the end of all this. But let's face it, there'll be some foreign resorts that won't be missing Brits too much, even if they are struggling financially. Our reputation abroad as young holidaymakers is not great, is it? And I don't just mean the blokes either. Back on Heart FM in 2005, Wham were waxing lyrical for us about a now defunct package holiday firm where the girls were just as badly behaved as the boys.
They go on holiday and then they sleep with loads and loads of men. Their bedrooms got revolving doors. They do it again and again. They give them all marks out of 10. Rip cords on their drawers. Club 1830 girls are free in Mallorca, giving it to everyone. Oh, they're catching STDs, but they don't worry or use protection.
Come on, Alison, we've only been here 5 minutes. There's got to be some blokes around here somewhere.
When British girls arrive out there, they certainly let down their hair. People back home just don't know. Germans put dolls on deck chairs. Our girls are getting laid upstairs. What a bunch of hoes. Club 1830 girls are free in Ibiza, giving it to everyone. Oh, they're catching STDs. They're all mingers without exception.
Hurry up, Stephanie. It's vodka doubles for singles down the club. Quick.
Get drunk tonight with shots and wine. snagger down the street, get into a fight.
That all leads us somehow neatly into getting down to some serious des on the Barmy Old Podcast. And today's edition has been specifically requested by Dave Cowley, who contacted me through the website this week at iandanter.co.uk. Hello, Dave. Thanks for getting in touch. He writes, "Hi, Ian. I've just found your podcasts on the internet and what great memories they brought back. I was working on the tools at GKN Driveline in Aldridge in the late 90s and could not wait for Des's dedications to come on. I've actually been slumped over my work bin in tears at this. An innuendo masterclass." I don't know what you mean, innuendo. "Just wanted to say thanks for this. Could you find the one about the estate agents? As I remember, it had me helpless. All the best, Dave." Well, your wish is my command, Dave. Thank you for getting in touch. And here is the housewife's choice on a property hunt.
Des's diary.
"Hi, girls. Des here on Ian Danter's Sunday carve-up here on 100.7 Hard FM. And it's time once again for Des's Diaries. And today it's a big... Hi, girls. To all the staff at my local estate agents, where... would you believe it? I used to work. One day, a young divorcee came in looking for a property. She didn't seem interested in the terraced or detached homes, but when she realized I'd got a semi, she demanded to see it straight away. Well, what can I say? She surveyed it very, very closely. Well, it might be 60 years old, but it's rock solid, I bragged.
When can I have it?
She purred. Oh, immediately, I replied, and we both shook on it vigorously right there and then. Fantastic.
It's so nice inside,
she purred after I'd given it to her. I'll tell you what, I'm so glad I gave her a freehold. Cheerio.
Des's Diary. The Sunday Carve-Up. 100.7 Hot FM.
There you go, Dave Cowley. Hope you enjoyed that. Thank you for your request. And keep your request coming to me on the Barmy Old Podcast via Twitter and email. Now, we've checked in with a number of well-known folk on this show to see that they're coping with lockdown in their own way. One area I think we need to cover a bit more is that of iconic children's TV stars. So let's put that right and check in with the gang from Rainbow. No, 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 not Richie Blackmore. Although, frankly, I'd pay good money to hear his version of The Wheels on the Bus, wouldn't you? Anyway, I mean this lot, you know that.
Hello, Zippy. Hello, George.
Yes. Hello, Bungo.
I've just been reading this story in the newspaper about keeping our mental health in check during lockdown.
Oh, yes. I read it too, Bungo. It says we should try and avoid cyclical thoughts, yes.
Well, I'm afraid we can all have those thoughts sometimes, Zippy.
Oh, and we know a song about that, don't we?
Yes, we do, Bungo, yeah. Go on, George. You start us off.
All right. Since lockdown began, I feel so insecure, get anxious or something similar. Don't know why, no reason particular. Wish I could go out to the cinema.
Yes, I went online and I ordered vinegar. Tesco replaced it with something not similar. On my chips I now have cinnamon. I long for times that were simpler.
I listen to the Prime Minister. Sometimes seems he's saying something sinister. I suppose it depends on the listener or if you're a medical practitioner.
It's been so long since I had a visitor. In this place I feel like a prisoner. Last bloke who came round asked for my signature. I'd ordered a sprinkler.
Well, if you make gravy, use a thickener. If you bake, you'll need a pinafore. Looking for an idiot, I'm the best villager. Have we lost the listeners? Sorry, but I've gone insane again. Too much time spent in my brain again. This lockdown can play strange games again.
Where are my clothes? No shame again.
I'm not taking the blame again.
I made a daisy chain again.
Oh, that was a hard song to sing, wasn't it, Zippy?
Yes, it was, Bangle. I mean, look at you now. You can barely breathe. Oh. Get it? Barely.
I must mention some of your lovely reviews of the show on our Apple podcast page. Paul writes, absolutely brilliant. I'm from Liverpool, so I've never heard the BR&B sketches. How did they get away from the Dez stuff? Do you know what? That's probably going to be on my headstone, isn't it? Here lies Ian Danter. How did he get away with the Dez stuff? Slackboy72 simply says, Black Country Bob makes me cry. I just think you're not even part of his team, Slackboy. Imagine working in his constituency surgeries. Crikey. And Alan Fuss says, a great relief from stress at this time. Awesome. Well, thank you, Alan. And all those of you who've left reviews, it's never too late to add your own. Talking of stress and finding shows to relieve ourselves of it, we've been able to take the occasional calming trip down to the hit BBC One show, The Repair Shop, on previous episodes. Jack from Birmingham had his reputation restored, you might remember, whilst Jim from Liverpool wasn't so lucky trying to get his granddad's underpants sorted. So, let's join friendly Scottish voiceover man for today's episode.
Welcome to The Repair Shop, where precious but fading treasures are restored to their former glory. Furniture restorer Jay Blinns and a dream team of experts come together to work their magic. Employing skills passed down the generations, they will attempt to restore the items and unlock the stories that they hold. Our three visitors to the repair shop today were the custodian of the Venus de Milo, the owner of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and Harry Redknapp, who came along to ask us to restore his shattered dream of being the first Englishman to manage a team to a Premier League title. Now Harry has returned to the repair shop to see how our experts have fared. Hello again, Harry.
Yeah, how you doing, Jay? Yeah. So tell me, did you manage to replace the arms on that there Venus de Milo?
Well, yes, Harry, we did, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's terrific. And did you also manage to design that huge steel structure what will stop the Leaning Tower of Pisa from leaning?
Yes, Harry, we managed that as well. All done. Customers very happy.
Yes, yeah, a top job. Absolutely top job. Terrific. So, all right then, did you then manage to restore my shattered dream of being the first Englishman to manage a team to the Premier League title?
No, Harry, I'm afraid we couldn't. We're good, but we can't work miracles.
That's a shame. Sam will be so disappointed, she will.
Yeah, we are sorry about that, Harry, but we have made something for you here that we think you'll appreciate.
Oh, yeah, what is it?
Well, it's this. It's a filtration device generally used for smoking cannabis, I believe.
Eh? Well, why on earth would I want one of those daft things? I've never even seen one before.
But someone said if you came on the show, you'd probably want a decent bong.
Bang! It's bang! Not bong, you idiot. Anyway, I didn't ask for a bang, did I? I got cleared of all them charges relating to bangs. This is scandalous. Right, that's it. I'm off. You're going to be hearing from our solicitors.
And so, absolutely furious, Harry left the repair shop, and after settling out of court, we paid a large sum to someone called Rosie with an offshore account in Monaco. Until next time on the repair shop, stay safe.
Well, there's every chance that within a fortnight of this episode going online, I will have been back to a football stadium for the first time in 3 months to commentate on a league match for TalkSport. And I'm not alone in that profession, of course. All my colleagues have been getting cabin fever from speaking to them. Not only that, but this week we managed to unearth an old Mr. Men story that is far too close to home for my liking.
Mr. Football Journalist stood up and started talking. "Your form going into this evening has been very inconsistent," he said patronisingly. "How's the preparation gone for tonight? Are you expecting any surprises? And is it the same lineup?" he added rather snidely.
"No lineup changes, just you, me and the kids for dinner," sighed Mr. Football Journalist's wife. "It's toad in the hole, so don't expect any surprises. The preparation has gone pretty well up until now. And what do you mean my recent form has been very inconsistent?" she added, obviously irritated.
"Well," said Mr. Football Journalist, raising an eyebrow, "surely you recall the tepid soup on Sunday, and last Tuesday's macaroni cheese was a bit predictable, to say the least. Maybe if you make a couple of changes here and there, you might see some improvement going forward," opined Mr. Football Journalist smugly. And so, a couple of hours later, after washing the Yorkshire pudding out of his hair and pulling two Cumberland sausages from his nostrils, Mr. Football Journalist checked his inbox and... could you guess what had arrived? Yes, you're right. An email informing Mr. Football Journalist that the season was restarting.
"Thank f*** for that," said Mr. Football Journalist's wife.
Now, after a few celebratory drinks, Mr. Football Journalist was in a rather frisky mood when he strode into the bedroom. "How do you see this playing out tonight?" he slurred with a wink.
"Well, because of your disappointing performances over the last couple of years, I've brought in a couple of new young players,"
said Mr. Football Journalist's wife as she slid open the wardrobe doors to reveal Gordon and Desmond, the next-door neighbour's twin 18-year-old sons.
"I'm sending you out on loan to Beryl over the road," his wife added.
But she's a real minger," complained Mr. Football Journalist.
"Well, then maybe you'll rediscover your form operating at a lower level,"
his wife retorted. And as Mr. Football Journalist trudged dejectedly down the stairs, you'll never guess what his kids were chanting. "Yes, you're right. They were going, 'You're sht, and you know you are, you're sht, and you know you are.'" Poor Mr. Football Journalist. The f***ing know-it-all c***.
So finally, here we are in this cracker situation where, through no fault of their own, people are sitting at home, not doing a fat lot, and getting paid for it, either by the furlough scheme or, of course, the self-employed grant. Dire Straits and Sting decided that an old 80s classic needed updating for this.
"Now look at them yo-yos, that's the way you do it. They do naff all and still get salaries. They ain't working cobwebs on their toolkit with money for nothing from the treasury. Now that ain't working, that's the way you do it. Let me tell you, them guys ain't dumb. You never get a blister on your little finger. If you spend all day sitting on your bum, stick a pie in the microwave oven. Order a Just Eat delivery. Grab a beer from the refrigerator and sit and watch your high-res TV. Now listen here, now that's great shirking. That's the way you do it. Do sweet FA and still get salaries. That ain't working, so easy to accrue it with money for nothing from the treasury. Get your money for nothing from the treasury.
I want my free money.
Oh, money for nothing.
I want
from the treasury.
I want
from Sunak, Sunak. Get your money for nothing.
I want
from the treasury.
I want my free money.
Get your money for nothing.
My thanks to Mark Knopfler and the boys there for that little ditty that wraps up episode 12 of Ian Dancer's Barmy Old podcast. Hope you've enjoyed it and that something or other in the last half an hour has made you laugh along the way. I must thank Sean Percival and Andy Robinson too for their brilliant input on the show as always. Don't forget the archive of all 11 previous episodes are available where you found this one online. And listen, a rate, review and subscribe would be amazing from you. Don't forget that when you subscribe, that means you automatically get new episodes of this without having to seek them out. And by giving us a 5-star review on Apple, you put a warm glow in my heart that lasts for weeks on end. Go on, you know you want to. Lucky for you, episode 13 will be along soon enough with more general tomfoolery. But in the meantime, stay safe, look after yourself and those around you, and we'll see you back here next time on Ian Danter's Barmy Old podcast. And as Des would say, cheerio.